Hear the promises of God. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. God is near to all who call on his name." God is in this place. This day we gather as people of faith to celebrate one who knew the Lord well, who served Christ faithfully. We come this day facing our own sorrow, missing Betty, and yet we come rejoicing, knowing that she is no longer in pain or suffering in any way. Her mind is clear, and all is well with her soul. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we gather this day to celebrate life. We come to give you thanks through the sharing of stories for the life of Betty Ann Truscott Black. Lord, we thank you for the love she shared with her family, with her church, and with our world. We pray, dear one, that in this time of prayer and reflection, your peace would draw near to us, comfort all who grieve, and lift our hearts with the good news of resurrection in Christ. For we come this day as people of faith to give thanks for the gift of life, both earthly and eternal. Amen. In the pew rack in front of you, you'll find a copy of the Chalice Hymnal. It has a red cover. If you would, please take that out and turn to page 561. We will sing together, "It Is Well With My Soul." Thank you.
Before reading the scripture this morning, I've been asked to share some early memories of Betty's coming to First Christian here in Casper. That's way back, 1958. I was 13 in junior high, had dark hair. And we had two growing and busy youth groups, Cairo for junior high and CYF for high school. Reverend C, with whom Betty had served before in Duluth, Minnesota, was our new pastor. And he felt Betty would be just the right person to come and serve as DRE, Director of Religious Education. And were we youth ever excited to meet her? When we did, we discovered that Betty was much older. She was 25. But very young at heart, full of ideas, and ready to go. In fact, her office was right behind this wall, as were the offices for the pastor and secretary, Ruby Clocksheim. At that point, the church did not extend beyond just outside the door of the sanctuary to the east. Well, Betty met with those of us who were officers in Cairo once a week, right after school, to plan the worship and program for the next Sunday evening. She expected us to be prompt and to be done in an hour, and she always greeted us at the top of the steps with a smile. And every Sunday evening, our groups would have a nice light dinner, listen to Betty talk about plans for the group, such as different outings we might go on, seasonal emphasis, such as how the youth group might help decorate the church for Christmas. And then we go into the chapel for worship before having our meetings downstairs. By 7:30 p.m., our parents' cars would be lined up in the alley, headlights aglow, waiting to pick us up. We loved our groups, and Betty helped them grow as she did our Sunday school. Yes, we thought the world of Betty. And we thought she was all ours. Until one day we saw her talking with the new guy in church. His name was Kirby. And they were having a great visit together. And a few weeks later, we actually saw them out having lunch together and having a great old time eating at Rex's In-N-Out in Kirby's car. Now, you really couldn't miss Kirby's car. It wasn't a dull gray or a dull blue. Rather, it was a bright red VW bug with a cloth top. I think it was the only red one in town. You couldn't miss it. Well, Kirby started joining and helping with the youth groups, maybe playing a little ping pong once in a while, sometimes kidding us with a twinkle in his eye, and sometimes just being a friend. Well, as things go, he and Betty got closer and closer and decided to get married. And wow, that was a mind blower for the youth. Now we knew they were really serious. They set a date for their wedding, and Kirby said we all needed to be there with a twinkle in his eye. And we were going to be, but some of us knew we had to play a trick on the couple. And so we planned it. The wedding day came, the congregation arrived. Kirby had his little red VW right up against the curb down in front of the church, ready to go. And we knew what the six of us were going to do. Just as the bride and groom entered the sanctuary and the service began, we hurried back out front, down to the VW. We quickly surrounded the car, put some flowers and goodies in the back seat, then bent down, and the six of us lifted that VW up and together carried it up all the way to the very front of the main door. And then we set it down just a couple of feet away from the door. We then waited for the service to be over. The bells rang, and out the front door came Kirby and Betty. And to his absolute surprise, the red bug was right in front of them, filled with lots of goodies. And we just stood around it and laughed and laughed. And they never forgot it. He always reminded us of it. And they lived happily ever after. What fun. What a wonderful marriage they were so fortunate to have. A terrific family, many friends, a variety of camping trips, and many special occasions all enjoyed together. And now Betty and Kirby are together in heaven. God bless them. Let us now move to the scriptures, and I'll share with you some words from Jesus as Thomas questioned him about life after death and heaven from the Gospel of John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, said Jesus. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. May God bless to us the reading of these words.
In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus is talking to his closest friends. He is trying to prepare his disciples for his coming death. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Betty's heart seemed troubled in her last days as her memory slipped further and further away. She seemed to become more and more anxious, sometimes focused on her own parents, asking when her mother would come to pick her up. Other times, she was worried about the children, although some days it was difficult to know whether she was thinking of her own family or school children just up the street, or the countless young people she'd mentored throughout her life. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For so much of Betty's life, a troubled heart was not what people thought of when they saw Betty Black. They thought of her smile, her caring spirit, her strength, her commitment to Christ, which showed how clearly she believed. Though we miss her, it is a blessing that Betty's heart is once again without trouble. All is well with her soul. Jesus promised to his disciples and to us that in my Father's house there are many mansions. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And he said, I go and prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. how sweet it is for us to know that Betty, who prepared a place for others to be welcomed and loved in this life, is now herself welcomed into God's own eternal dwelling. If someone could lay out a roadmap for your entire life, would you want to see it ahead of time? Would you want to know where every path might lead before you take it? Jesus knew that his disciples didn't fully grasp what he was trying to teach them. He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. You know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas spoke up for the disciples, "Lord, we don't get it. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life." For Christians across the span of time and around the globe, for Christians like Betty who know Christ as God's Son, we discover in him the pathway to God. We find the beautiful truth of God's forgiving grace. Indeed, we find life itself. Betty found Jesus the way early in her life and never faltered from the path God laid before her. Though she could not see beforehand the joys and sorrows that would be hers, she did see the face of God in Jesus, and she lived her life sharing that truth with others. Betty Ann Truscott was born August 12, 1933, in Pomeroy, Washington, to Eleanor May and Lester Venus Truscott. She was the eldest of three daughters, helping care for Mary and Donna in their childhood. Raised in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, after high school in Pomeroy, Betty attended the disciples-related Northwest Christian College in Eugene, Oregon, where she earned a bachelor's degree in Christian education. Her adventuresome spirit and her Christian calling led Betty to move across country to take her first position in ministry as the head of Christian education at the United Christian Baptist Church in Duluth, Minnesota, where she worked with Reverend Frank C. It was not too long after that that Reverend C. accepted the call to pastor First Christian Church here in Casper, Wyoming. As the community was booming, his leadership helped the church to grow, and he saw a need for a strong Christian education program. As we've heard from Paul, in 1958, at Reverend C.'s urging, Betty moved from Minnesota to Wyoming, of all places, and was hired as the director of religious education here at First Christian. This congregation would be her church home for the rest of her life. As director of religious education, Betty recruited and trained Sunday school teachers, expanded educational programming for children and youth, and played a key role in the congregation's plans for building the Christian Education Wing. It was here in Casper that Betty Truscott met a handsome young school teacher named Kirby Black. His roommate and fellow teacher, Ed Struby, would be their best man. Betty and Kirby were married in 1962. The day the infamous VW Bug migrated. They were devoted to each other for the next 52 years until he went to heaven. Betty and Kirby raised three sons and lost a fourth in infancy. Betty served as First Christian's Director of Religious Ed until she was pregnant with Brian. Then she spent several years enjoying being a full-time homemaker before returning to paid employment. She worked as a secretary at Winter Memorial Presbyterian Church, Equitable Life Insurance, and Meals on Wheels. She returned to the staff of First Christian as church secretary from 1992 to 95. In our congregation, she served two terms as an elder and gave countless years of service through Christian Women's Fellowship. The presence of the Black family at First Christian Church spans decades. From childhood memories to service being handed on from one generation to the next. Russ remembers sneaking through the construction crew's plastic curtain to run through the building while the Christian Education Wing was being built. Rick crawled under the pews, and all three boys played on the front stair banister. When Betty worked at Winter Memorial, she still volunteered here. On Thursday nights, she could be found down in the basement, wearing a black apron and gloves, rubbing ink on a stencil before printing Sunday bulletins on a huge, clunking printing machine. By example, Betty taught her boys about faith, and she prepared them for life. Thanks to her, they learned to cook, clean, and do laundry. When she resumed working outside the home, Betty would plan meals for the family, laying out the ingredients for supper, and then call home when the boys got out of school to give them instructions on cooking dinner. Betty was a meat and potatoes style of cook, so it's with fondness that her sons remember the times she went outside of that box. One time, Brian said, "We want tacos for dinner." He'd had them at a friend's house. Well, Betty had never made tacos in her life, but she took up the challenge. Russ has a similar story. He came home raving about eating lasagna at a friend's, so she called up the friend's mom to get her recipe. Her family admits, it seems she could never get a roast exactly right, but she loved to bake cookies. The grandkids loved going to Grandma Black's house because she'd always bake chocolate chip cookies for them. She'd put the cookies on a wire rack to cool, and before you could turn around, half the batch was missing. She made a special caramel frosting for birthday cakes with coffee in it for color. It was so sweet and so good. Birthdays were always important to Betty. She baked a cake for Kirby every year, and they'd give each other the mushiest, most loving, and sometimes even embarrassing birthday cards you could find. Betty loved to shop. Christmas and Easter were big holidays and fun to celebrate with Easter baskets and hidden gift bags. Having raised only boys, she delighted in doing girl stuff with her daughters-in-law, but was always sensitive to checking first to see if it were something they'd rather do with their own mothers. Julie remembers nightly phone calls during her first months of marriage when Betty was checking to make sure she was feeding Russ enough. Jenny is fond of a special trip she shared with Betty flying to Florida to celebrate Betty's sister's 50th wedding anniversary. Terry was thankful that from the first time Rick took her home to meet his parents, Betty was unquestionably a supportive presence in her life. Everyone in the family knew Mom was going to check up on you. If you were traveling, you had to call and let her know where you were along the way and when you would arrive. She returned to that behavior of frequent phone calls late in life as her memory slipped, wanting to know every day, if not every hour, how her kids were doing. Granddaughter Brianna loved staying at Grandma's on Saturday night. Betty would let her put on lipstick before they went to church together on Sunday mornings, so she felt so grown up. Grandson Josh remembers picking plums in the backyard, and Jared recalls mowing around the plum bushes. When the grandkids would stay over on weekends, they'd sit on Betty and Kirby's bed, watching Shirley Temple or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on the tiny TV brought in from the camping trailer for the winter. Betty was an avid reader, often visiting the book nook downtown to pick up the latest Harlequin romance novels. She liked crossword puzzles and collected Madame Alexander dolls and specialty Barbies. She saved souvenir spoons from travel destinations on a wooden holder in the family room. She was always a night owl, and for a time, I was surprised to learn, Betty had an addiction to playing Pac-Man on her son's Atari game system. Betty always loved to travel. It didn't matter where. Before she met Kirby, she went to the World Convention of Christian Churches in Scotland. The Blacks honeymooned in Canada and Kirby's VW Bug. They'd save up and plan all year for summer vacation trips, with Kirby mapping out every stop along the way. The family drove all the way across country to Florida to visit Disney World, where Uncle John was an engineer. There are great memories of Mount Rushmore at night, Jewel Cave, and special family reunions with Betty's sisters in Branson and Orlando. Granddaughters Sarah and Amy fondly remember a special camping trip with Grandma just for them. The joy of camping trips expanded beyond time with family to include an annual hot water weekend in Thermopolis with friends, the Clock Seams and Badgers. There are cherished memories of the annual Labor Day trip with all of the Black family camping, whether in the Black Hills, at Thermop or Buffalo or Cody, even a time at Glen Rock when work schedules meant some could only commit to a day. The time together as family was essential. There are more stories and memories we could share. She liked to eat wintergreen mints. The family calls them Sparky mints. You could find them everywhere. There was a stash in her bottom drawer, in a little baggie in her purse ready to hand out at church. The well of Sparky mints never ran dry. In a way, she was a baggy person on many fronts. She'd keep all kinds of things in a handy Ziploc baggie, coins, candy, jewelry. She sold Sarah Coventry jewelry for a while and enjoyed Avon and was a regular customer for Bernice Riley whenever they'd meet here at church. It makes sense that Betty was a saver and a collector and always prepared with those little things for life. Like others of her generation, she had grown up somewhat meagerly, taking care of her younger sisters in a small house with one bedroom. She was a good customer to the Schwann's truck, especially when it came to ice cream and white chocolate macadamia cookies. For Betty's family, love might taste like a Yule log with nutmeg, heavenly rum balls, sometimes very potent when they were forgotten in the back of the freezer, or Grandma Truscott's homemade pie. Betty was a member of Tops, taking off pounds sensibly, and was very pleased to be the queen one year. She enjoyed music, played handbells at church, played the piano growing up, and took lessons again as an adult. She would delight in plucking out notes on the piano keyboard with her grandchildren. She always supported school and community music programs, encouraged kids to try new things, and brought Brian to church many evenings to practice for his piano lessons. Through the years, she let her boys have cats and dogs to love on. Pudgy, Chico, Princess, Pumpkin, Sheba, who was part Siberian Husky and part wolf and went out the window. Whiskers, who would bring her moths and mice as gifts. And Miss Kitty, who's still hanging around at Rick and Terry's at age 13. Church was always important to Betty. She loved the Wednesday CWF group, was in worship every Sunday, enjoyed regional women's retreats, quadrennial, and FCC's family camp. If Betty's life were to be mapped with a record of where she had traveled spiritually as well as physically, First Christian Church Casper would be home base. She returned here time and time again to find strength and comfort. It is fitting that we celebrate her life here today, and that after this time of worship, you all will be invited to share in food and fellowship downstairs and continue telling stories of Betty's life. One story her family shared with me was the number of notebooks they found in their parents' home when Betty and Kirby moved to an apartment at Primrose. They had meticulously mapped out countless trips, some never even taken. If you could see a map of your life ahead of time, would it bring comfort to you or perhaps frighten you? If you could look back on a map of where you'd been, would it broaden your perspective, perhaps enabling you to see God's hand at places and times where you'd not even known it in the moment? John 14 describes Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. When we follow Jesus, God knows the way we are going, the journey we will walk. even if we ourselves cannot see it. From Betty's life journey, there are too many stories of laughter and love to tell them all today. There are stories of her love and delight in 6 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, and nieces and nephews. There are also stories from times of darkness between the patches of light, times when she clung so closely to God that she would not have made it otherwise. There were lean years in the 1930s when she was growing up, years of adventure in the 50s when she answered God's call to ministry in Minnesota and Wyoming, a year of delight in 62 when Betty Trescott became Betty Black. Perhaps the hardest year was 1970. Her father died in September, and she flew home to Washington State with her baby, Kenneth Lee. Kenny died on December 4th of that same year. It was such a hard loss, she seldom ever spoke of it. Yet late in life, when dementia was taking away so much of who Betty had been, she would tell visitors at Life Care that she was worried about her boys down the hall. I remember one visit when she talked with me about her 4 sons. At the time, I only knew Russ, Brian, and Rick. I thought her memory was playing tricks and she couldn't count quite right. But Betty always counted what mattered most, those whom she loved. Long before she moved to Life Care in 2013, Betty expected the family to call and tell her how they were, where they were. She kept in touch with her dear sisters across the miles and kept track of her children, no matter how much they'd grown up. In the last years, when it seemed her mind was troubled, what mattered most was still clear. She loved her church and she loved her family. Now, Betty has found her home again. She has found her way. In our Father's house, there are many mansions, and a room has been prepared by Jesus, especially for Betty Black. She is there with Kirby, with Kenny, with her parents, with her Lord and Savior, whom she followed and served so faithfully. Last Monday, on December 4th, 2017, our precious Lord took Betty's hand and led her home. For this, we are truly thankful and rejoice to know she'll hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. The family has chosen another beloved hymn for us to sing today. It is "Precious Lord." You'll find it on page 628 in the hymnal, and I invite those who are able to stand as we sing together. Thank you. be seated. I invite you to pray with me. O Holy Lord, in the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say that those who love him will follow his commandments. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which our hands are privileged to be used as your hands on earth. We thank you for the hands of Betty Black, for the ways in which she used her hands and her life to touch so many others. We thank you for cookies baked for grandchildren, for lessons taught to her boys, for education shared in the church with so many young lives shaped by Betty's hands. Lord, we thank you for the day that you joined together Betty and Kirby's hands in holy matrimony. And we thank you now that they are together again. O precious Lord, thank you for taking Betty's hand early Monday morning and calling her home to rest in your eternal care. O Lord, we pray that in our time, you will come and take our hands as well. Until then, may we live as faithful servants, blessed by the saints of the church, blessed by Betty Black. Thank you, God, for her life, for her life's work, for her love, which reaches on now, even beyond death. O Lord, we give you thanks for Betty Ann Trescott Black. And we join together in humble prayer, offering the words, O Jesus, that you taught your friends, saying, Our Father, following the service today, you were invited downstairs to Fellowship Hall, a space that Betty knew well, a place where she, no doubt, directed children's programs and met with CWF, prepared meals for friends, and laughed and told stories as we will do together. A light luncheon is prepared on behalf of the Black family and shared with you by the Christian Women's Fellowship, who knew and loved Betty as their sister in Christ. We hope that you will stay and visit with Betty's children and grandchildren and the great-grandkids today. If all hearts and minds are clear, then I offer you this benediction in the name of God. May Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life, may Jesus Christ himself guide the journey of our lives, enlighten us with the truth of God's grace, and bless us with full life on this earth until, like Betty, we know eternal life with him in heaven. Bless us now, O Lord, to go forth in peace, to live, to love, to serve in the name of Christ. Amen.